सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वैवस्वताय मृत्यवे ब्रह्मविद्याचार्याय नचिकेतसे च। वी हम्बली बाव डाउन to Bhagwan Yamraj, the guru of this Upanishad, and Nachiketa, the student. Because of them, we are getting this wisdom. So, last week we had talked about the people who chase after avidya, ignorance. Avidya also is read as preya, that which is worldly joys, and they are called mudhas because they spend their whole life in worldly objects. They have no higher gain. But even though they have avidya, even though they are ignorant, they brag that they have the knowledge, and they roam around calling themselves pandita. And such a people, they go through life after life suffering. They do not get any benefit. In fact, their life goes downward. And such people, not only they think they are good, but they start leading others, telling others. So Yamaraja ji says, it is andhe naiva niyamana yatha andaha, like the blind leading the blind. And then he talks about why are they like that? Because they have pride of their wealth, of their power, and they think this world alone is real and there is no higher world. And they go through birth and death. Then in the seventh mantra, we talked about how this knowledge, many people don't have access to it, or if they have access, they don't want to go for it. Then there are few who, even after hearing, don't get it. So he says, rare is the teacher who is able to communicate this knowledge and make it understandable. Kushala, he has to be very skillful, and it's very rare to find a realized master like Pujya Guru, those we have met, the Swamijis of Chinmaya Mission. And it is also a wonder that if people hear it and they get it. So there are rare people who actually, after having listening, got it. Like Swami Chinmayananda Pujya Gurudev, how many people must have heard him, in his 40 plus years? But there are very few rare people like Pujya Guruji who, one having heard one time in Bhopal, he said, I'm done. I'm going to go to Chinmaya Mission. So those are very great wonder to find such students. And then he says that the people who, if they are not qualified, and then if they try to teach, you cannot reach it. But one who is one with the self, he's one with the consciousness, a teacher, and then a student also, he teaches him that you are one with that consciousness, and such a person can get it. Why is it so difficult? Because it is subtle and logic cannot prove it. So now again, in this next couple of mantras, what Yamaraj is doing is praising Nachiketa actually and talking about the glory of the student. So we'll talk about that. And then the last mantra today is the beginning of the teaching, how the teaching Yamaraj is doing. So that is the 12th is the very important. So we'll start with number 9.
Eight
we have done last time. Number 9. Harsha Ben, you have it? Harsha Desai, you have it? The book, number 9?
Yeah, I have it.
Naisha Tarkena Matirapaneya.
Naisha Tarkena Matirapaneya.
Proktane Naiva Sugnanaya Preshtha.
Proktane Naiva Sugnanaya Preshtha.
Yam Tvamapa Satya Dhritir Batasi.
Yatva Pamam Satya Dhruti Varsati.
Vadrikno Bhuya Nachiketa Prashtha.
Vajino Bruta No Bhuya Nachiketa Prashtha.
You can mute, we'll all chant together. Naisha Tarkena Matirapaneya. Proktanye Naiva Sugnanaya Preshtha. Yam Tvamapah Satya Dhritir Batasi. Tvadrikno Bhuya Nachiketah Prashtha. So Na Esha. So Esha means this knowledge that Yamaraj has talked about. Tarkena, with logic, it cannot be obtained. Matihi. Matihi means this highest goal. Apaneya means cannot be obtained through logic. His highest teaching. Only Prokta Anye Naiva, one who has no distinction from Brahman, who has become one with Brahman, through him it can be Sugnaya, it can be easily known by a right teacher, O Preshtha, O dear one, Nachiketa. Yeah, and he says, Yam, this knowledge, Tvamapa, you have already gained it. He says, gained it? Abhito, he has not even talked the first mantra of the teaching. He says, but you already have gained it. Why? Because Satya Dhriti, you are established in truth. Batasi, you are established in this truth, in this highest, in the truth established. And Tvadrik means like you. Naha, no means naha. For us, Bhuyat, may there be Nachiketa Prashtha. There may be an inquirer like Nachiketa. That means it is rare to find a student like you. And we wish there were more students like you who would come to study. So again, we have talked about before also why logic cannot reach it, because logic is at the level of the mind and the intellect. And the mind and the intellect work by inference. Like if I have, say, if I see a car, I know this friend of mine has a new BMW, you know, blue color and all. And if I see it parked outside the mission, I know that he is in the mission, you know, his car is there. So same way, logic cannot prove it. You cannot say that because of this, I can know Atma. That cannot be known. In fact, logic neither can prove it nor can disprove it. He said, I'll prove the Atma by logic. No. I'll disprove it. Also, no. So this is how are we to know? And why is it so difficult? Because there are different fields. It is like I'm dreaming and my son-in-law wants $1,000. I don't have $1,000. I say, come in the waking state, I'll give it to you. I can't. He cannot come to the waking state. Or I can say, I need $1,000 in my waking state. Can you come and give it to me? No, son-in-law can neither take nor give because they are two different states, waking and dream. So same way, this state we are living in is a state of dream, and that higher state is a state of enlightenment. It is as so just as you wake up from a dream to the waking state, you wake up from this dream of the world to that higher state. So there can be no communication between the two states. And it is the prompter. It is like the car Gurudev in his example gives, like a driver is driving a car. He stops the car, parks it, and then goes in front. Now the car cannot move on its own, you know, towards the driver. So same way, just as the driver is driving the car, the consciousness is driving the intellect. Intellect cannot know consciousness because the enlivener is behind. It is the support of that. It is the energizing principle. So then we say, well, you know, then it is so hard. If it's so hard, then why even bother? You know, what is the, I mean, you know, you say you have to give up everything, meditate, give up all parties, the things you enjoy, shopping, jewelry and all, and turn your mind exclusively, detach from everything, all those things. But they say the human life can only be fulfilled when we have this knowledge. Only the fulfillment of the human birth can only be when we have this knowledge. Otherwise, your human birth is unfulfilled. Yeah, it is no doubt difficult, but we have examples of several masters before us who have got it. Pujya Gurudev, Pujya Guruji, Swami Tejomayananda Ji, Vivekananda, Shankaracharya, all these great masters and teachers who have got this knowledge, so they are our examples. So then, very briefly, they say, what are the steps? So they say, first, if you start with Karma Yoga, if your mind has a lot of impurities and negativities, do service. Do Karma Yoga and then go on to meditation. So, not that you have to wait till all the mind is purified, but that has to be the stepwise progression. And as we said, the teacher and the student have to match, have to be correct. What the teacher is saying, the student has to understand. Teacher has to explain what he means to the student, explain correctly, then only this knowledge transfer occur. So talking about not explaining correctly, this couple was married few months and the husband comes home and the wife looks very happy. So he says, oh, why are you so happy? She says, you know, darling, we are two, soon we'll be three. He says, oh, that's great news. Soon we'll be three. How soon will that happen? She said, next week. He said, next week? Yeah, my mother is moving in with us next week. So that is not proper communication, but in this transfer of knowledge, this relationship between the teacher and the student has to be established. And then he tells Nachiketa, you have already reached. Why? Because you have total vairagya, you have desire for knowledge. And when I talk to you about the Nachiketa Agni, whatever I explained, one time you got it 100%. So I'm sure that this knowledge I give you, you will get 100%. So here he's praising the student and telling him that you have a great conviction. And that's what we need to do. Have a conviction that this knowledge is alone what I want. There is nothing else I need in this world. That is the message of this particular shloka. Particular mantra. Number 10, Sharad, you have this book? You can please repeat. Janamyaham shevaditirya
Janamyaham shevaditirya
nityam. Nahya dhruvai prapya tehi dhruvam tat.
nityam nahya dhruvai prapyate hi dhruvam tata
Tato maya natikechaschitognihi.
ततो मया नचिकेतश्चितोऽग्निः
अनित्यैर्द्रव्यैः प्राप्तवानस्मि नित्यम्
अनित्ययैर्द्वै प्राप्तवानस्मि
We'll all chant together. जानाम्यहं सेवदितिरत् नित्यं नह्यध्रुवैः प्राप्यते हि ध्रुवं तत् ततो मया नचिकेतश्चिदोऽग्निः अनित्यैर्द्रव्यैः प्राप्तवानस्मि नित्यं. सो हियर यमराज इज टेलिंग नचिकेता दैट यू हैव ऑलरेडी क्रॉस्ड मी, यू हैव एक्सीडेड मी. सो ही इज प्रेजिंग दैट यू आर इवन बेटर देन आई वॉज when I was a student. Why? He says, Janami, I know, aham jan, I know, Shevadi, the treasures, the results of karma are anityam. Results of karmas are temporary. And I also knew that nahi, na, no, not indeed, adhruvaihi prapyate hi dhruvam tat. Adhruva means permanent, adhruva means not permanent, temporary. So I knew that temporary cannot get the permanent. But I still Maya Nachiketaha Agni. I still propitiated Nachiketa Agni, even though at that time it was not called Nachiketa, it was the rituals to reach heaven. And I knew those. I had studied from my teacher. So I practiced those because that was what I knew at that time. And that is lot of in the Vedic times, that was lot of pleasure, you know, to go to heaven and enjoy. So that was taught to me. And but what happened? Anityai dravyaihi. So by doing these anitya actions, temporary actions, Dravyaha means these what you put in the fire, these propitiations, what were done by me. But praptavan, but I got asmi nityam, but I got permanent by practicing a temporary, I got permanent. So what does he mean by that? So first we said that it is tribute to Nachiketa. And why anityam cannot get nityam? Because a temporary, the person performing the action is temporary. The action performed is temporary. The instrument used are temporary. The knowledge to do this is temporary. The results gained are temporary. So temporary can never get permanent. So that we have to completely understand. Anything of that I do in this world, it will give me purity of mind, like chanting, you know, doing rituals, doing karma yoga, doing upasana, doing some puja. Those are very good. And those are required for purification of mind to get the knowledge. So one, it's not that one should stop doing. If you're doing rituals, karma yoga, pujas and all, continue to do them with more faith, but do that for purification of mind. And in that pure mind, when you sit in front of the teacher, you will get this knowledge. So that is what they're saying, that temporary will give you temporary, but it is going to be continued. And for to become devatas, they say you have to do these rituals. So if say one of us wants to say, okay, become Varun Devta or Agni Devta or Yama Devta in our future births, so what you do these. And you are guaranteed to get it, you know, not right away, because now the devta who is occupying is for 4 billion years, you know, the one Brahmaji's world. So after 4 billion years, you will get it, but you will have joy in the meantime. You will be in heaven and you will be enjoying that. So he said, I also got this post of Yamaraja, which I have now, where I go and bring people and all this, no, you know, all this, you know, wisdom and all this highest post I have, but I did not have the highest knowledge. How did I get it? So remember in Indra, he went to his teacher for 99 years to study in Keno Upanishad. You know, we said Indra got the knowledge first and then he gave it to Agni Devta, Vayu Devta, and to the other Devta. So I got it from Indra. Now, of course, Yamaraja is enlightened. He has already reached the highest. But at that time, I didn't know that. But what happens is that for a long time, you have joy. But at the time of enlightenment, what happens? So they say the gross body for all of us, even if we are not enlightened, gross body gets burnt or buried, the subtle body goes to higher worlds and then travels and back. You know, the causal body is the one propelling the subtle body to go to higher or lower worlds, and then we get another human birth. But for an enlightened master, his subtle body merges with the total subtle body, the total mind and intellect called Hiranyagarbha. And his causal body also then has no function, so it also merges, it also ends. So for us, only the gross body ends. For a realized master, subtle and causal body ends. But then you say Yamaraj, now he has already attained enlightenment, but maybe he still has another 2 billion years. So what about that? Won't he has to do them, because that is his prarabdha. Once you have attained that state, then you have to finish. Same way on earth, if there is an enlightened master, he will continue to live the rest of his life. He's not going to drop his body. See, attain enlightenment at say 50 or 60 or 70. And if he has a lifespan of 80 or 90, he will continue to live. And in that, he may have sorrows. We know about enlightened masters who were seriously ill, had very painful cancers. Their prarabdha has to be fulfilled. The other point one should note, Nachiketa should not become arrogant. Oh, now I am better than my teacher, Yamaraj. That one should never have. One should always have humility and gratitude to the teacher, because without teacher, he will not go to the next step. So that is very important. No matter how much we have studied, no matter how much we have progressed, we should always have great gratitude to our teachers, Swamiji, Ishwaranandaji, and Guruji, and Pujya Gurudev, and all, because it is because of them that we have this knowledge. So that humility is very important. Shaku, you want to do number 11? You can unmute, please. Okay, number 11. Kamasyaptim jagatav pratishtham.
Kamasyaptim jagatav pratishtham.
Krator anantyam abhayasya param.
Krator anantyam abhayasyam param.
Stoma mahad urugayam pratishtham drishtva.
Stotam mahatayam pratishtatushta.
Dhritya-dhiro nachiketo tyasrakshihi.
Utvaniro nachiketa satyasakshi.
You can mute. Kamasyaptim jagatav pratishtham krator anantyam abhayasya param stoma mahad urugayam pratishtham drishtva dhritya-dhiro nachiketo tyasrakshihi. So again, he's praising what the state that Nachiketa could have got, and he was easily able to get, but how he has given up. So again, what we are seeing is the glory of the teacher and now the glory of the student. So kama syaptim. So whatever can be accomplished, whatever desires that one can have, the end of all desires, you could have gone to the state where you all your desires would have been fulfilled. Number one. Number two, jagata pratishtham. The substratum of this entire universe, you could have reached. What is the substratum? So this one is a very technical, so it needs some explanation. So the substratum of the whole world, you could have reached. Pratishtha, you could have been established. Then kratoho, of rituals, endless rewards, anantyam rewards you could have got. Abhayasya param, and you could have gone to the shore beyond all fears. Lot of technical things he's telling. Stoma, you are praiseworthy, O Nachiketa. Mahat, you are great. Urugayam pratishtham drishtva, you have seen the wide extended sphere, which is the abode of the soul, which is the abode of the entire universe. Drishtva, having seen, you could have got all that. And still, oh, Nachiketa, dhriti, by persistence and firm resolve, dhiraha, you are dhira. Again and again, they use dhira for Nachiketa. Dhira means a wise man who does not get disturbed, whose mind is set, who knows what he wants in life. So, Nachiketa, tyas rakshihi, you have given up all these things. So, what is the meaning of kama syaptim? Means any highest of desires you could have. I offered you anything you want, anything, and you gave that up. Jagata pratishtham means the substratum or the origin of the whole universe. So, what is the origin of the whole universe? They say that is Hiranyagarbha, that is the total mind. Gurudev says, just as the roots, from the roots come the, you know, the from the just the beginning of the tree, the little plant, and then it grows into a big tree. So Hiranyagarbha is the total mind from which the entire universe is created. Not only universe, all the 14 worlds. And that is also called as Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka is also another name for that state. So you could have gone there. You could have gone to Brahmaloka. You would have gone to Hiranyagarbha. And you could have had Krama Mukti even. You could have Krama Mukti. You could stay there in Brahmaloka in supreme joy. And then Brahmaji would teach you and you would get enlightenment. You were guaranteed that. That you had. And Abhayasya Param, beyond all fears, means this fear that I will lose would not have been there for you. You would not have had any fear of losing that state, you know, that state of Brahmaloka. And then he says, Toma, and you are praiseworthy. Why? Because Mahat Urugayam means the wide expanse of Gurudev calls it Vishnu. Vishnu means not Vishnu Bhagwan, but that totality, whatever land, whatever area, anything you could have got, anything beyond anything, and Pratishtham, and you could have got the substratum of that, all that, the substratum of the soul, the substratum of the whole world. Having seen all this, I offered it to you, but Dhritya, by your dhriti, by your firm abidance in this knowledge, O Dhira, you are the wise person. Nachiketa, tyas rakshihi, you gave it all up. So, as we said, you could have got the highest of desires. You could have got the substratum, which is Hiranyagarbha, which is the origin of the universe, Brahmaloka. Not only that, but the rituals, whatever you get through rituals, you would have got that. Your life would have become fearless. Nobody could have taken it away from you. So the example they give is like the devatas and the asuras are fighting. Devatas are living in heaven and they are ruling over heaven and they have different posts. And then asuras come and defeat the devatas and, you know, kick them out of heaven. And then devatas go to Vishnu Bhagwan and say, you know, can you save us? And so Vishnu Bhagwan comes, destroys the asuras and brings devatas back to their heavenly abode, to their kingdom. So they say, why is he favoring devatas and not favoring asuras? Because devatas have earned that position because of their karmas. So that being in heaven, or whether he's Nyamaraj or whether he's Varuna or Agni Devta, Vayu Devta, or even Indra, all those positions they have earned because of their karmas. So Bhagwan says, what you have earned from your karmas, nobody can take it from you. So he's guaranteeing that if we do good karmas, nobody can take away those results from us. And through karmas, we can go all the way up to Brahma Loka. But Nachiketa says, I don't even want Brahma. I want enlightenment here, now, in this life. So he says, that's why. He says that to go on this path, you have to burn all bridges. You know, that I should not come back. I should burn all bridges. So it's like, he gives the example, like, when people go for this Vedanta course for 2 years, some of them say, okay, I'm like Guruji. He said, I've given everything up. I'm just coming. And even when the course was canceled, he stayed a year with Gurudev. He said, I'm not going back. But then there are some students who, when they go for 2 years, they take what they call a sabbatical from their work. Okay, I'll take a 2 year sabbatical or 1 year sabbatical. In case I don't like it, I can come back to my family, to my job. So that commitment, if you don't have, so that's what they're saying. Once you go, you burn all. So same way on the spiritual path, when we go, we should burn bridges. Means I'm not coming back. No matter what happens, I'm going to continue this journey. That's why Gurudev calls it one-way street. There is no return. There is entry only. So once you start on the spiritual path, even if you want to come back, Bhagwan won't let you. Once you have started, he will pull you. So that's what they say, na? You take one step, tum ek kadam mere karo, main ji ji karun 10 bar. He says, you take one step towards me, and I will say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, what can I do for you? God says, he said, you take one step towards me, and I will say, yes, ma'am, whatever you need, I am ready to do. So Bhagwan is ready to help us. All we have to do is be firmly committed that this is what I want, and that is called dhira. And there is always an inner tug of war. So one says, oh, this path is too difficult, and let me, relax. Why do I have to get up at 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning to meditate and do all this? And no, one should be firmly committed, like Nachiketa. That is the purpose of studying this text, that I should become like Nachiketa, not any less than him. Now, this 12th and the 13th, 12th we'll do today, and 13th we'll do next week. These are the essence of the teachings. They are the Like it's like an introduction, but where Yamaraj has summarized the entire teachings of these Upanishad in these two mantras in brief. And then the rest of the Upanishad is telling us about the path, how to go, what are the sadhanas, what are the obstacles, and what are the problems, and all those, and a lot of other examples. So this Upanishad I found is very, very simple and very practical. Everything is explained in detail and made very simple. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna has taken maximum mantras from Kathopanishad for his Bhagavad Gita. Saroj Ben, you have number 12? Tam durdarsham gudham anupravishtam.
Gudam
Oh, sorry.
Gudamanusa Pravista
गुहाहितं गह्वरेष्ठं पुराणम्
गृहाहेतं गृहस्थपुराणम्
अध्यात्मयोगाधिगमेन देवम्
अध्यातमयोग्यातिगमेन देवम्
मत्वा धीरो हर्षशोकौ जहाति
जहाति
Okay, you can mute. We'll all chant together. Tam durdarsham gudham anupravishtam guhahitam gahvareshtam puranam adhyatmayogadhigamena devam matvadhiro harshashokau jahati. So now that goal, what is the goal of this Upanishad, which is the goal of all Upanishads, which is that abidance in that Brahman. So that goal, Duradarsham, it is difficult to see. It is not easy to see it. And Gudham Anupravishtam, and it is located in a very difficult place. Gudham means secret. Anupravishtam means it is located in a very difficult place to reach. Where? Guhahitam, in the cave of our heart, it is hidden. Say, oh, if it is hidden in the cave, it should be easy. No, why? Gahvareshtam, it is in the place where there is a lot of impurity. among miserable surroundings. See, our heart is full with so many negative things, you know, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, selfishness. So it is hiding in all those things. As long as you have that, this knowledge will be in miserable condition. In fact, God is unhappy to stay in our heart when our heart is all dirty. When it is pure, he says, aha, now here I would like to stay.
Yes.
So Puranam. Puranam means Pura Api Nava, even though it is the most ancient. See, when we say something is ancient or old, we think, oh, you know, it's like suppose somebody is 60 years old, then he says 70 years old, then he's 90 years old. We say, my body is deteriorating, my mind is deteriorating. But this one, even though it was most ancient, before time, before space, before all these galaxies, still it is brand new. That's why they say Bhagwan is ever youthful. You know, in one of the scriptures I read, he's ever young, ever youthful, because he never gets old, never changes. So that is if you think of the form, and even in the formless, it is unchanging. So Pura Api Iti Navam. Then how do we reach it? So how do, so here first time Yamaraj has used this word, Adhyatma Yoga means meditation on the self. So here he has talked about the glory of meditation. Adhigamena, it can be reached through meditating on the self. And what is this Atma, the self, is Devam. It is the Lord, it is Deva, it is the God, the Lord. And Matva, and having recognized this condition, Dhiraha, again the wise person, Dhiraha, Harsha Shokau Jahati, he gives up joy and sorrow both, goes beyond joy and sorrow. So Durdarsham, we have studied many times. Your eyes cannot see it, you know. All my eyes, ears, nose cannot know it. Mind cannot think about it. Intellect cannot reach it. So it is beyond all our usual ways. Speech cannot describe it, you know, even though the rishis describe it, but they only describe the indicators. So even speech cannot reach it. So, but we are still trying through speech, all of us, to get it. Then it is said, Atma is Devam. It is the Supreme Lord. Now, why is it secret? Even though it is in our own heart, it is lying there. It is actually, God is everywhere. But if you want to find God, you can just go within your heart. Just as US is everywhere. But if you want to find US to reach, you have to go to Washington, D.C. to meet the senator or congressman or the president or so on. So it is in the cave of the heart. But why is it secret? Because our mind is extrovert. Because we are looking outside for joy, looking outside. If I get this, I'll be happy. That, I'll be happy. And that, oh, if only if I get this, then my life will be complete. Nothing that you get will make your life complete. Whatever is temporarily making it complete will turn around and give you sorrow. Like, you know, spouse in the beginning, aha, everything is good, and then eventually creates sorrow. Or like a child, you know, ah, when he's newborn, is so much joy, and then he becomes teenager. Swami Ishwarananda ji calls him Rakshas. Once he becomes teenager, then all sorrows start. So anything that gives you joy eventually will give you sorrow. So that's why anything you obtain will not give you permanent joy. In fact, it is covered, even though the knowledge is revealed by the guru, but our intellect is covered. The example is now you are all listening, and then somebody from the side comes and says, you know, I just got a nice pistachio ice cream, would you like some? You say, no, I'm listening to Kathopanishad. But now your mind is gone. For the next 20 minutes, you will be thinking pistachio, pistachio. So your mind is covered. So then the thinking will end, you know, that I don't, even though you're listening. So same way, even though we are listening to the teacher, our mind is on the world. And that's what they say, from the world, you have to shift your mind inward. And when they say the cave of the heart, it means the intellect where all the good qualities reside. like love, compassion, kindness, unselfishness, goodness. That is called the cave of the heart. We will also be doing that in the Gita chanting class, where we are starting this karmana. Where is the cave of the heart? It is deeply located in our intellect, beyond the five koshas, you know, the beyond the body, the pranas, the mind, the intellect, even the vasanas, even the bliss sheath. Beyond the five sheaths, it is located, and it is inaccessible for those who don't seek. That's why they say you have to dive deep. That's why Raman Maharishi in Saddarshanam, he says, just as a diver who wishes to, you know, some lady has dropped her precious jewel in a well while getting water, and she tells him where she dropped it and what kind of jewel it was, like a bracelet or something. He will dive deep, control his nose, control his mouth, and go get it. So same way, a guru has told us where this knowledge is, just as the lady has told the diver. So guru has told us where this knowledge is, what is the beauty of this knowledge. It is like a jewel, and what we have to do is control our breath, control our speech through pranayama, and go deep within. So why is it said it is gavareshtam? Why is it in miserable surroundings? As I said, when our heart is dirty, then that is a miserable. Then he says, adhyatma yoga, through meditation you concentrate. So I heard a very beautiful example, like sunlight is everywhere, right? But if you want to know the origin of sunlight, what do? You go out and turn your attention to the sun. Okay, that is where the sunlight is. But you want to have direct experience of the power of the sun and the power of the sunlight. So what do? The sunlight is scattered all over. It is scattered. So what do? You take a magnifying glass, you know, that convex lens. As children, we used to play, put a lens and then concentrate the sunlight on the black piece of paper. And the black piece of paper burns, right? Even though, so that goes. So same way, our mind, which is scattered all over, which is all over, mind is wandering here and there. We sit for meditation and we either think about what we did yesterday or what I'm going to do after meditation, or she said this or he did this. Our mind is in a thousand places. You have to concentrate it, just as you concentrate the light. Same way, mind has to be concentrated. Second thing, that lens, if it is dirty, covered with mud, you know, the sun is not going to work, right? It's not going to burn. So same way, the lens has to be cleaned. Same way, my mind, which is purified through all these practices and sadhanas, removal of all the negativities, then when I turn inward with full concentration, that's why the meditation, they say, it should be undivided attention to God who is within me. That is the goal of meditation. That is the direction in which you turn your mind to that inner life principle consciousness. Focus on that, and then slowly the self will reveal itself. Slowly, this so the burning, what happens in the black is the black paper is equal to the light of knowledge that will shine within. So that is called the burning. That is the light of knowledge shining from the Atma, the self, which is all over. You concentrate, focus it through your mind and intellect. We have to use mind and intellect, even though it is beyond mind and intellect, but the mind and intellect are the only equipment I have. So I use those equipment, focus it, go inward, and find the source of all this. So then they say, what do we mean by go beyond joy and sorrow? So somebody says, you know what, Guru Swamiji, I want joy. He says, okay, you can have joy, but you have to have and sorrow. Joy always will be and sorrow. You cannot say joy without sorrow. They say, okay, I want no sorrow. He says, if you want no sorrow, you will have no joy. So either you have both or you have none. So it's an all or none. So that means in life, anything that we give, there is always ups and downs, joy and sorrow. Joy and sorrow represents the pair of opposites, you know, dvandva, heat and cold, joy and sorrow, success and failure, honor and dishonor, praise and blame. So Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan, again and again, he talks about dvandvatita, one who goes beyond the pair of opposites. Only such a person can reach the highest. As long as you are getting up and down, you know, like a wave of joy comes, you are happy, then sorrow comes, you are down. Then if your life is up and down, then you will never attain that equanimity of mind. So the wise person knows that joy will be there, sorrow will be there. He watches both. He becomes a drashta. He becomes a witness. And as a witness, he watches this state of joy and sorrow and joy coming. Not that he's like a rock. Joy is coming. Okay, it will come. But then he knows that sorrow is round the corner. So one who has seen that joy and sorrow, heat and cold, like there is cold now, then heat will come. Then when you complain 110 degrees, you can't, because that is Bakersfield. You know, once there is cold, then heat will come. So same way, as there are joys, then sorrow will come. Health and ill health, you know, good and bad health will come. Someday I'm healthy, someday I'm not. Success will come, failure will come. Something I succeed, something I fail. Somebody will be honoring me, and another person will be criticizing me, praising me. So all those things are there in every life. So they say, Guruji, again, you know, you are saying this path is very difficult and it needs a lot of sacrifice. And then I have to give up things I enjoy. At least, Abito, at least I have some joys in this world, maybe joy and sorrow, both. But on that path, I don't know whether I will even get any joy. You know, who knows? You are saying that it is very difficult, and out of 1,000 people, very few try, and out of thousands who try, very few people reach me, Bhagwan says in Bhagavad Gita. So if this path is so difficult, and if there is no guarantee that I will reach it, and then there is no guarantee that I will get joy, at least in this world, kuch toh mil raha hai na? At least sometimes I get joy, sometimes I get sorrow. So in the next shloka, Nachiket Bhagwan Yamaraja will tell us how on this path, not only in the final reaching when you reach, but also on this path, how you will get joy and how this path is so pleasing and how the mind becomes so happy when it is. I think all of you, those of you who are on this path, studying, meditating, you know, doing all those things, karma yoga, bhakti, and all, you must have noticed that there is joy in that. It's not just dry, you know, suffering. There is joy. So that will be explained in next shloka. And Yamaraj will again give the essence of the teaching in this number 12, and then next week in number 13, and then from on. So actually the Upanishad teaching has started from number 12 and 13. What is today and the next week, the first shloka, the last shloka today, and the first shloka next week. Even though he has told Nachiketa, you have already reached, but he hasn't started teaching yet. So he just started today with number 12, and then we'll do number 13 next week. We have about 10 minutes or so, actually. It finished faster than I thought. I thought this will be very hard. There are some difficult mantras, but I tried to simplify as much as possible. So, anybody has any questions, comments, anything about goal or what to do or anything, please. Niru, you have anything? Anybody else? Yeah, Kerry.
I kind of was wondering, you know, in verse 9, I think it's the word darkena.
Tarkena, yeah, that means by logic, by argument.
I was just, I maybe didn't understand that word too well because, you know, I was thinking of Nidrishya, that the book, you know, we're reading on Wednesday. That's a kind of a logic, and I'm not sure it's argumentation exactly, but it, you know, it's like a stepwise process to view, you know. I was just wondering how that was different.
Because logic cannot prove Atma. Even the Drigdrishya Vivek can only indicate the truth, cannot take you to the truth. Anything that is written, anything that is spoken, anything that is discussed, even the highest teacher teaching the highest student cannot take him to that higher state by teaching.
He can point it.
What he can do is, yeah, he can point it out, he can give him the path, he can tell him the glory of it, and he can tell him how he reached and how he got the knowledge from his guru. So it is a guru shishya parampara. And if somebody says, I can teach you, it's wrong. What it he has to say, this is how I learned from my teacher, and I'm sharing it, and now it is up to you to practice what I have taught you. So tarka can logic, they say logic can support what is written in the Upanishads. Logic can support it, like Drigdrishya Vivek or Vivek Chudamani and all those texts. But none of them, including Upanishads, can take you to the highest. All they can do is
The
indicate the.
self-knowledge cannot be taught, it can be caught.
Yeah, so self-knowledge cannot be taught, it has to be
Taught by the student.
caught by the student. So the teaching is Drigdrishya Vivek and all those texts. We have to study, because without them we won't know where to go. We will be like the blind leading the blind. I'm blindly walking on the path. I'm not going to reach. I'll fall in the ditch. So that is the limitation of knowledge, of any knowledge. Even the highest knowledge has limited.
Cannot be gained by.
Yeah. So it can be through hearing, then you meditate, contemplate, abide in this knowledge, and ultimately the knowledge will reveal itself to you. You cannot reach that knowledge by yourself. All you can do is patiently wait until that knowledge is revealed to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good question. Thank you for asking. Anything else?
Yes. Yeah. So something about intelligence. Logic can be used to negate what is not Atma,
Yes.
but cannot go beyond that. So if you use your logic to negate what you are not, like all those five sheets, you are not. So logic can help you to negate what is not
True.
Atma. Then you have to drop it. Then it reveals itself. So you recognize at that time that that's how it is, I see. But logic cannot describe Atma or have you see Atma or realize Atma. You can use logic. I mean, logic is important till you're negating things which is not Atma.
Yeah, thank you. Atma is same as Brahman, consciousness, God, whatever you want. There are different terms used. The I, the self. That's why they call it the self. It is me. Yeah, Jayashree.
No, I was just thinking, like in Drugdrishya Viveka, she was talking about, it does indicate very well the self, I mean, you know, not only negating, but it'll indicate the self
Yes.
very well through logic. So that is also an important part, I think.
Right, very point. Thank you. That's so true that it indicates that, that the objects are seen, the eye is the seer. The eye is seen, the mind is the seer. Who knows the mind? The self. So the Drigdrishya Vivek will take your attention from the objects to the eyes, from the eyes to the mind, and from the mind to the self, the consciousness. As Jayashree says, it will indicate. Not only negate what we don't need, which also we have seen how it negates, how Nachiketa negated all the things, but then how to contemplate that Yamaraj is teaching us in the next mantras and throughout the whole Upanishad, what are the paths, what are the sadhanas, what are the all those things. So yeah, like Drigdrishya Vivek will take you to that self, which is Sakshi, the seer. As Jayashree said, from the seen to the seer. And that is the Atma, the self. So that is again a way of indicating, because the seer is only functioning if there is something to see, right? Seer can only function if there is something to see. The moment you say there is seer and seen, that means becomes dvaita too. So we say this is advaita, one alone is there. So actually in that highest state, there is no seen, there is only seer, I alone is there. So that's why, that again, this text has its limitation because they say drig drishta vivek. So seer and seen, the discrimination. But it is the most direct. That's why drig drishya vivek is one of the most direct texts that in very short time, very quickly takes you to that highest truth. Those who are not attending Wednesday study group should join from 8 to 9 because we have just started Drig Drishya Vivek. Try to get that book and join because this text is very direct, very simple, and very powerful indicator. So we are doing Wednesday 8 to 9 p.m. We have just started actually, just one or two classes have gone. But yes, that's a very good point that it can indicate. But ultimately, even that indicator has to be dropped. Just as the finger can indicate the moon, but finger is not the moon. You have to drop the finger and go to the moon. So same way, the book can indicate that, but cannot take you there. You have to drop the book to go beyond it. That means use the book just as you use the finger to look at the moon. But then you ultimately have to go even beyond book knowledge. To my own experience, like the ladder you use to climb on the roof, but then you have to leave the ladder if you have to fix something on the roof, or from the first floor you want to go to the second floor, you have to use stairs. But you cannot say I'm holding on to the stairs because they brought me to the second floor. No, you have to drop the stairs to go to the second floor. So book knowledge will take you there, but then you have to go beyond book knowledge, beyond whatever is covered, whatever we are all talking about. Was everything clear today or was it difficult? Very subtle mantras. It took me a long time to prepare. Yeah, Lata.
It was difficult. I had read it. And there are three or four new words that I came along in these three, four shlokas. One thing you discussed that it's seated amongst the miserable surroundings. Gaha Varishtha.
Varishtha, yes.
The cave of heart, that's where you also indicated that it is where our love and all our good qualities exist. So aren't these two different?
No, because in our heart, there are good and bad qualities both.
Mm-hmm.
There are good and so Bhagwan is everywhere. So he is there where you can find him where there are the good qualities. But he's also there in the bad qualities. He's there in both.
Mm.
It's you know, they say, he created the world and he entered. You know, they always say that. Oh, mm-hmm. Bhagwan created the world and he entered. Actually, Bhagwan was everywhere. When he created the world, he manifested in that world. So he's there in the criminal, he's there in the saint, he's there in the gutter, and he's there in the Ganges water. Gurudev always gives the example. He's there in Ganges water and in the water of the gutters. So he's there in my good qualities and in my bad qualities. I have to nourish the good qualities, then I will... My mind will become pure and I will find him and I have to remove the dirt, the negativities, gahvareshtam.
Hmm.
He's there in both.
Correct. Okay. And that the one word, the sevati, treasure meaning the fruits of action.
Yes.
That's in shloka number 10.
Yeah, shevadi means the all the results of karmas. You know, you do good karmas, you get good results. Like Yamaraj had done good karmas. That's why he became a devta. He got the post of Yamaraja and, you know, living in heaven and all. Of course, his job is not pleasant. He has to go bring dead souls. But he got that post of Yamaraja. But then he got knowledge. And that's when he became enlightened. And that's why he could teach Nachiketa. He started with that, with the Vedic times, that used to be the very important thing, that you do rituals and then you get a higher post in heaven and all that.
Right. So, he does indicate, I did Nachiketa fire, but it didn't make sense because Nachiketa is what he's, to whom he's teaching now. And the rituals that are being done by Nachiketa is what he named that.
Right.
So
right.
How could he have done those rituals before?
No, he had done those rituals, but that time it was not called Nachiketa fire. It was there in the Vedic scriptures.
Okay.
He named it Nachiketa fire after teaching it to Nachiketa. The rituals were there from time immemorial.
They okay.
In the Vedas. So he got them from there and he did them. But he called it Nachiketa fire after he taught it to Nachiketa as a homage to him. Thank you. Jayashree, you have a comment or question?
No, I just thought about that Shiva Kshamaparada Stotram, where the Lord Shiva says, you know, it is that the poet is saying, like all the wild animals, all these bad qualities are like wild animals in the forest. And you are a hunter, you have to take this all these wild animals away. I mean, you know, he's telling Lord Shiva. So, I mean, that's, you know, that was, I just came to my mind that, you know.
Right. Right.
Example,
Shantavyo me prad Shiva Shiva Shambho. Oh, please forgive all my sins. So that is another thing. You have to ask for forgiveness, you know, for forgiveness from Bhagwan. So that may I please forgive me for my sin and may I not repeat them. See, that is the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is there even in Christianity, you know, that you ask God for forgiveness. So that is a very important that you have to recognize your negative qualities and ask God for forgiveness or whoever you have harmed for forgiveness. Okay, I think we can end. Next week, we'll continue the teachings of Yamaraja from number 13. Oh, yeah, if you have time, try to read the 3 or 4 shlokas. Like Lata said, if you read them, then Gurudev's commentary you have, then I'll try to add extra material, so then it will make more sense. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you. Hari Om.